The scripture reading for today is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 24 on page 1442 of your church hymnal. My friends, we ask you to be thoughtful of your leaders who work hard and tell you how to live for the Lord. Show them great respect and love because of their work. Try to get along with each other. My friends, we beg you to warn anyone who isn't living right. Encourage anyone who feels left out. Help all who are weak and be patient with everyone. Don't be hateful to people just because they are hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful and never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. Don't worry about God's spirit or ignore. Don't turn away God's spirit or ignore prophecies. Put together everything to the test. Accept what is good and don't have anything to do with evil. I pray that God, who gives peace, will make you completely holy. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this.
And let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My younger sister, Christy, got married this past August to a wonderful guy named John. The first week I spent away from Bismarck after moving here in late June was the week surrounding my sister's wedding. Christy and John are both students at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, and they got married in Donnell, Minnesota, at the Lutheran church where my brother-in-law grew up. The reception following the ceremony was at my brother-in-law's family farm, and it was such a wonderful day. My sister, for one, was a bit overwhelmed and incredibly humbled by just how many people spent time and money making the trek to their wedding. And because it was in a teeny tiny town, it really was something of a destination wedding, because it required people to make arrangements to stay in hotels at larger towns many miles from the actual wedding and reception sites. That so many of our family members and so many of her friends made a point to be there with them on their wedding day meant the world. Those of you who have gotten married or who have experienced other major family events may understand that humbling feeling of being surrounded by so many important people on days you know you will remember for the rest of your life. Of course, along with the humility and the sincere joy that naturally comes on days like a wedding day, the day my sister got married also brought with it the special brand of jitters and anxiety only a wedding day can bring. Those of you who have gotten married may likely understand those feelings as well. The entire day of my sister's wedding was pure gift. The love, the joy, the anticipation, even the jitters and the anxiety. All of it contributed to what became one of my family's favorite days so far. Period. And in the minutes before the actual ceremony, the pastor who officiated said something I will never forget, something that has continued to come back to me over the last few months since the wedding. The wedding party and immediate family were gathered in the basement of the church, waiting for the last straggling guests to be seated before we walked up to process in. Pastor Paul Rohde, the campus pastor at Augustana College in Sioux Falls, where both my sister and brother-in-law went to college, offered a beautifully calming prayer with all of us just ahead of the ceremony's start. Now, I don't remember what Pastor Paul said during the actual prayer, but I do remember what he said before he started praying. Quoting Swedish diplomat and Nobel Peace Prize winner Dag Hammarskjöld, Pastor Paul led us into pre-wedding prayer by saying this: "For all that has been, thanks. And for all that will be, yes. For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes." It's a practically perfect quote to offer just before a wedding, but it is abundantly appropriate anytime, perhaps especially for us here today at McCabe United Methodist Church as we worship God on this consecration weekend. Now, in any church, it can feel a little awkward when the stewardship season comes around. We're not supposed to talk about money in polite company, right? So stewardship time can feel awkward. It can feel awkward for the folks who have long been part of the church. It can feel awkward for people who are newer to the church or who just happened to walk through the doors for the first time today. And it can feel awkward for the pastor as well. When we talk about stewardship in the church, we mean to talk about how we are called to be faithful stewards of all our resources, our time, our talent, and our treasure. But so often it feels like when we focus on stewardship, we focus primarily on treasure, on money, on the stewardship of our finances, and even more specifically, on giving our money to the church. To some people, when the pastor preaches about financial stewardship, it might feel like she or he is simply raising money for their own salary. To be completely honest, in my years of preaching about stewardship and about giving specifically, it has never even crossed my mind that when I do so, I'm raising money for my own salary. Stewardship is so much bigger than that. Yes, my salary and all of our church staff members' salaries come out of your generosity, but as staff, we too give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And we give not out of obligation, but out of a sense of thanks for all that God has given us. We also give because we want to be part of what God is doing here, in and through this wonderful place. As a leader, I've been taught to model that which I want to see from those in the congregations I serve. I've been taught I can't expect anyone in my church to do something I'm not also willing to do myself. This is about integrity, and it is so true. Any of you who are leaders in any way, whether it's here at the church or in your job or in your family, any of you who are leaders know this to be true. If you want people to follow, you have to walk your talk, as it were. Well, since we are most specifically talking about financial stewardship here today, I have to be honest with you that I struggle a little bit every time we get to the offering in our weekly worship services. And I have always struggled during the offering in any church where I've served as pastor, because in some churches, I've only put something in the offering plate once a month, and in other churches, McCabe now being one of them, I hardly ever put anything in the offering plate. To be clear, this is not because I do not give financially. I take the biblical tithe very seriously. So 10% of my salary goes right back into the church's general fund. But I only give once a month. In some churches, it's been one check per month, so I rarely put anything in the plate. And in other churches, like McCabe, I can give electronically. So I pretty much never put anything in the actual offering plate. It's funny, I was recently part of a pastoral training event about financial stewardship that Pastor Kermit Culver at Legacy United Methodist Church here in town was also part of. When we started talking about this offering time and sometimes feeling strange as a pastor about either only putting one check a month in the plate or never putting money in because of automatic bank draft giving, Pastor Kermit shared that their staff has joked about having t-shirts made that say, "Don't judge me, I give electronically." Believe me, I have been tempted to have such a shirt made for myself. I love electronic giving because I love giving my money away, but I hate writing checks. However, electronic giving doesn't really allow me to model what it looks like to be a leader who expects her church members to give of their time, their talent, and their treasure. But all of that is just a little bit of a digression. Like I said, stewardship is about so much more than just the giving of our financial resources. When thinking about the message for this consecration weekend, I couldn't help but think about today's scripture reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, especially these key sections. My friends, encourage anyone who feels left out. Help all who are weak and be patient with everyone. Don't be hateful to people just because they are hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and to everyone else. This is so much of what we do in the church. Always be joyful and never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. I pray that God, who gives peace, will make you completely holy. When we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, it's about saying thank you to the God who gave us life. Thank you to the God who blesses us with forgiveness. Thank you to the God who provides us opportunities to do meaningful work, whether it's our job or a volunteer position we love. For all that has been, thanks. And when we look ahead to the coming year and think about how God is calling us to use our time, our talent, and our treasure, we are anticipating all that God will do in the future through this church community. For all that will be, yes. Just before the sermon, we sang the hymn, For the Fruits of This Creation, and even though we sang it together, I want you again to open your hymnals to page 97 to this hymn. This time, we're going to speak the text together as a prayer leading us into our time of offering and consecration. So again, we're on page 97, and once you're there, please join with me in speaking these words. For the fruits of this creation, thanks be to God. For good gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we are sleeping, future needs in earth's safe keeping, thanks be to God. In the just reward of labor, God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In our worldwide task of caring for the hungry and despairing, in the harvests we are sharing, God's will is done. For the harvests of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us, most of all, that love has found us, thanks be to God. When my sister and brother-in-law got married, this hymn was actually the recessional at the end of their ceremony, and it was a wonderful way to celebrate what had just happened. The congregation stood and we all sang as my sister and now brother-in-law walked out of the sanctuary with those of us in the wedding party following close behind. The last two lines seemed especially fitting. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us, most of all, that love has found us. Thanks be to God. Most of all, that love has found us. Thanks be to God. For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes. As we now move into our time of offering and consecration, you are invited to come forward. Please come forward if you have a monetary offering and/or an estimate of giving card to bring. Monetary offerings will go in the plates near the front pews. and estimate of giving cards are to be placed on the altar rail. But even if you have neither to bring to